Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we're coming to you live this March 9th, 2017. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit if you'd like to call in. I have a few things I'd like to share with you. Some current events about that Oroville Dam crisis out there in Lake Oroville, California, and as well as some of the, well, maybe we'll get this far into this Christian fiction, this movie, The Shack, that's coming out, that's, I guess, out, and would like to talk about that a little bit. But so I've got plenty to talk about tonight, but we'll have the phone lines open if it works out for you. If you want to give a call or if you have a question or a topic you'd like to cover, we'll sure do our best. But let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll do that first. And we're going to pray also for our brethren out in the Midwest. We've had some, you heard us pray last night for those that were affected by the fires in Kansas and Texas and Colorado, and got a text not too long ago that, boy, there's some severe tornado warnings in the Missouri area, and just got an update that the storm has passed for my brother Ralph. Family's safe, home is safe, and no hail damage, praise the Lord. And he had sent me a picture here about an hour ago, and I've been in tornado areas, and this looked rough. It really did. Serious. And we sure, lots of reds, heavy oranges, lightning, and we sure prayed in obedience to the word, and we're going to do that again. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, first and foremost for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and, Lord, died on the cross to save us from our sins and from our sicknesses, from the hands of all who hate us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you that, and we thank you, Jesus, for doing that very thing, for coming to the cross, taking my sins, taking the beating that I deserved. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for doing that very thing. Thank you for calling us, your people, your remnant, out from the darkness, out from the pit, Lord. Thank you for calling us. And thank you for, Lord, it's nothing that we've done. Lord, it's what you've done. But thank you for calling us. And thank you for opening our eyes to believing your word, to repenting of our sin, and of being baptized. Repenting and being baptized, Lord, so that we can receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. So then we can walk in your righteousness. So that, Lord, then we can have that Holy Spirit to open up your word and to help explain it to us, to help us to see it. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for these storms that have come through. We thank you, Lord, that you answered our prayers of just an hour ago, and the many that were praying out there, Lord, and sparing your people, Lord, in the storm calming, the storm moving on and passing, and no harm coming to those that belong to Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We do. We praise you, Lord, you who bring the storm, you who speak to your people in the storm, in the whirlwind, as your word says. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I'm mindful of those that lost their lives in Texas this week, Lord, and in these fires. Young people, Lord. My prayer is that they were ready. That, Lord, they had that right relationship with you. And that they were ready, Lord, to move on to what comes next. Well, Father, that's between them and you now. But Lord, now I ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with their families. Lord, they were sons and brothers, daughters. So Father, I do ask you, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to be with the families of those that, Lord, that lost their lives this week in Texas to these fires. Comfort the families. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit to be upon them, to bring that peace, that comfort. Lord, draw them to your word. Draw them to the comforting voice that, Lord, that you give. Lord, you don't give it to the world. It's offered. But, Lord, it's not the world that receives this. It's not the world that believes it. It's not the world that seeks it. But, Lord, your remnant, especially when they are hurting, Lord, when they have this loss, I pray, O Lord, that they would seek your comfort. They would seek your word. For, Lord, I know we have found comfort in your word, for it is there. And so I ask that, that you would call those that are mourning, call those that are grieving. Let your comforter come, Lord, and be with them, and strengthen them, and encourage them, and comfort them in this time. Well, Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be here as well, to guide and direct me, my words, my thoughts. Let them be your words and your thoughts, and let them encourage those tuning in, those listening in. Let this broadcast tonight be an encouragement to them and a blessing to you. And I pray this to your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, a spring-like day here at the Radio Ranch. What a beautiful day it was. A little windy. Oh, we've had some stout winds, about like they've had in Texas, 30, 40 mile an hour. But still, we were 50 degrees today. That's about as warm as we've been. So thank you, Lord. The Lord is worthy. Folks, hopefully you're getting our newsletter. We've recently mailed out newsletter volume 2. Entitled Testing the Spirits. I'm seeing if I've got one here in front of me, here in the broadcast booth. I do. Testing the Spirits. And it's one of the things our pastor taught us to do. We are somewhat of a skeptical people. We are stiff-necked, hard-headed, doubting Thomases. Oh, that applies to us. And so we've been taught to test the spirits. And the Ramrod did an excellent job this past month in this article in doing that very thing. We have learned that we have our thoughts. We can read about those in 2 Corinthians 10, but we've learned, and to share some teaching that I've learned from it, there's three kinds of thoughts that we can have. We have to remember there's, of course, God's thoughts that can come into our mind, and there's our thoughts. We have thoughts as well, but there's also the enemy's thoughts. Have you ever, and I won't ask have you ever, because I'm sure you have experienced sometimes. Sometimes something will pop into your head and you think, where did that come from? I don't want to do that. I don't do that. I don't even want to think that. Has that happened to you? It's happened to me. We're not even to think those thoughts. Well, that happens. And so we know that those thoughts aren't God's thoughts. We don't want them to be our thoughts, so they are the enemy's thoughts. And so we are, when we get thoughts, when we hear something, whether you hear it here off the radio from me, whether you hear it or we hear it in an audible voice, or we hear it in that, maybe not as audible, but we might hear it in the back of our mind, or maybe you just sense it at times. Well, how do you know if it's God's thoughts, if it's our thoughts, or if it's the enemy's thoughts? How do you know? Well, you test the spirits. And we address that. That's addressed here by the Ramrod in the Volume 2, 2017 Dragon Slayer newsletter. And it's full of scriptures. And we encourage you, if you don't get that, we'll send you one, no charge. We'll cover the postage and handling as well. And we'd be glad to send it to you. Contact us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. You can send us an email to preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher, P-R-E-A-C-H-E-R, @sfaw.org. Richard@sfaw.org works as well. They both come into the same office computer here at the Radio Ranch office. And ask for a copy of that newsletter. We'll be glad to send it to you. If you're into the reading it online, it's available online as well at scriptures4america.org, or send us an email and I'll email you a full color, interactive, printable, readable PDF copy. So that's what we do here. We do our best to get this information out to you, to encourage you, as I said in my prayer, to love and good deeds, to encourage you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is a very important thing that we need to be doing right now. Right now is testing the spirits. We look around at the current events. We look at what's going on. I heard on the radio today, 20 military veterans commit suicide every day. 20. Now, you don't hear about that on CNN. There's nobody going out and making big gains there. We need to be. We need to be testing those spirits. And one way that you can test those spirits is you can bet that if you're having hateful, toxic, ungodly thoughts. Now, we're not talking about the kind of thoughts that David had that we read about in the imprecatory Psalms where he says, Do I not hate those that hate thee, O Lord? I hate them with the utmost hatred. No, we can have those hatred thoughts against the enemies of God, against those that curse our God and that hate him and hate us. But we're talking about if when we have these type of thoughts with our family, with our friends, with our Christian brethren, with those that we should be ministering to, instead of having these ungodly, hateful thoughts. And so, remember, our Jesus Christ told us, the thief comes to do what? He warned us, the thief comes to do three things, to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy. So when you hear something, when you think something, when you go to say something, if that's the type of fruit that is going to come out of this, you thinking this thought, or you believing this thought, or you believing this gossip, if it may, or saying this thought that you have, is the fruit that it's going to bear going to be stealing, killing, or destroying? And if it is, it's bad fruit. It's as simple as that. It's a bad tree, and it's producing bad fruit. Or is that thought that you're having, that thing that you're hearing from someone else, that word that you're wanting to say, to share with someone, is it like Christ said when he said, I come to bring life and life abundant? So that's another way you can test the spirits. You can test your thoughts. And we would all do well to do that, to test the spirits, to test our thoughts, to see if they truly are our thoughts, if they're God's thoughts for us, or if they are the enemy's thoughts for us. Now, one thing about the enemy, and I really wasn't going to get off on this whole thing about thoughts, but it's here in a note here in my Bible, and so I guess it's what I needed to share tonight. Remember that the Bible tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so, just, and a lot of times Satan in our thoughts will use, the enemy will use the I word, I. And it will make us think that, well, that's my thought. Well, I think that. And that's where we have to be very careful. That's where we really need to be testing the spirits, testing our thoughts. Is that thought that I had, is it my thought, is it God's thought, or is it the enemy's thought? And one good way to do it is, what is the fruit that's going to come out of it? What is the fruit? You get a text. You might get a text from your spouse or your friend or someone that just sets you off. And our first fleshly reaction is just to fire another one back. You blasted right. Blah, 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 blah. Is that our thought? Is that God's thought, or is that the enemy's thought? What kind of fruit is it going to produce? Is it going to produce life and abundant life? Or is it going to steal, kill, or destroy? And see, that's between each and every one of us and God. So, test the spirits. You can read about it in our Volume 2 Dragon Slayer newsletter. Be glad to send you one. Test your thoughts. What fruit is going to come from the thought that you're having, the word you've been told, whether you're going to believe it or not, or share it with others, the word you might be given to say, you might think you want to say it, you might think it's the thing to do or to say, and you might think, oh, well, this is the Holy Spirit telling me, this is God telling me. Well, it may be, but God does not produce bad fruit, and God's thoughts do not produce bad fruit. And God's thoughts do not lead to stealing, killing, and destroying. And our thoughts should not either. So, Got more on that. Hopefully, I'm hoping to bring a little bit more of that as the weeks go on, as we're learning and going through and growing in His grace and knowledge. I hope you're doing the same thing. I hope that you're reading your Bible. If you are, you're in 1 Samuel this week, started yesterday, and so we're through the first 10 chapters of 1 Samuel, and of course, Samuel is when we get our first king. Not King Jesus, but our first earthly king. And you read about, in reading through here, I hope that one thing that you see is the dysfunctional families are nothing new. They aren't. When God was dealing with His people back here, the Israelites, the Hebrews of old, the different tribes, they weren't perfect. The fathers weren't perfect. They didn't always make the right decisions. The mothers weren't perfect. The children weren't perfect. But see, God was able to use individuals throughout here for His purpose. He was able to take the mess of these families. And even in the mess of these families, He was able to get His message through for us today. And so remember that. And I noticed that in reading through, just in this 1 Samuel. Here, Samuel is born to Hannah. Hannah's happy, and so what does she do? As soon as she weans him, she gives him away. Because that's what she promised. That's what she promised. And so then he goes into service under Eli, the prophet, and the man of God, you might say. Now then Eli's sons were, the Bible says, were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. They were worthless men. But Eli, at least at this time, was a man of God, and he was training Samuel. And you might say, well, yeah, but Eli was this and that, and he wasn't perfect, and his son's this and that. Yes, absolutely right. Did God still use Eli in a positive way? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. And then when you read about Samuel, you read about how Samuel, when he grows, you look here in chapter 7, and you have Samuel. It says, now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. But then in chapter 8, now when Samuel was old, he appointed his sons judges. Now his sons were Joel and Abijah. They were judging. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Now, does that mean Samuel was bad? No. No, but we see that story repeating. We see that story happening with Eli. And we see that story happening with Samuel. So here we have a righteous father, and his children have turned on him. His children, it says, they did not walk in his ways. They didn't walk in the ways of the Lord. Do you see how symbolic this is of God's children and God being the perfect parent, the perfect father, but his children not walking in his ways? So we see these stories, the literal problems in families. We see that way back here in the Old Testament, all the way through. If there's ever been a dysfunctional family, it's been the family of Abraham, all the way back to him. That's just how it is. That's life in this fallen world. But we have a choice. We can either be like the worthless sons of Eli, worthless men or women, that applies to them as well. We could be like Saul's or Samuel's children that do not walk in the ways of God, that turn aside after dishonest gain and take bribes and pervert justice. And, oh, there's plenty of that in the land today. But that's a choice that's made. And each and every one of us have a choice to make, whether we're going to do those type things or we're going to turn away from the ways of the world and continually turn to God. So just again, hopefully you're reading your Bible. I know I've read through 1 Samuel before, and you probably have too. But if you'll read through it again today, Maybe it was last year when you read it, but you know, things are different today. We have a new president. We have a different president. We have a vice president that says Jesus Christ is the center of his life, the most important thing in him and his family's life. Hallelujah. That's a little different than last year, than the last time we read this. There seems to be a different spirit in the land, a better thoughts, a better frequency resonating out. More of a boldness that seems to be upon Christians today that wasn't there a year ago. Praise the Lord. So we encourage you, be reading your Bible. We have the Bible reading plan posted at the website, scriptureforamerica.org. We hope you're using that tool to help you read the Bible. And if you don't have the internet or you don't have this Bible reading plan, if you'll contact us, we'll mail you one. We print them out each month, send them to the prisoners on the prison ministry, and we send them out with orders here from the office periodically. But we'll be glad to send you one. We want to encourage you to read the Bible. Be reading it. And hey, we'll be in Psalms next week, reading a little bit through this history this week. Well, wanted to talk a little bit about this Oroville Dam crisis that's happened out in Oroville, California. We'll open the phone lines up. We're about halfway through the program tonight here on this March 9th, 2017. But we'll open the phone lines up if there's anybody wanting to call in. 307-745-5913 is the number if you want to call, if you have a comment. This Oroville Dam situation that happened back in February, California getting heavier rains than normal, and that's continued on. Snowpack up in the Sierra Madres. I was speaking with a man today that spent time out there in California and in those valleys and mountains, and he said he's an older man. He's older than I am. And he said that he hasn't seen this type of snowfall and this type of rain since he was a little boy. So it's been a couple of generations since we've seen this type of snow and snowpack. And now that stuff's going to be melting here in the next couple months and run off. And so we talked about this Oroville Dam and the spillway failing and that Oroville Dam, I think it's unique that it is the tallest dam in America. What is it, 700 something feet tall, and out in California, where traditionally the last 10, 15, what, 20 plus years, California's been in more of a drought than anything else. The wildfires they've had, the water restrictions, the farms that have been shut down because the thought is they use too much water to grow that food or to feed those animals. We have to have water for swimming pools and for people to drink. And so the thought in California, it seems like, and all across the country, has been, why worry about this dam? Why worry about it? And now that's kind of coming to the forefront. And that's what I thought we'd talk a little bit about tonight, is that lacking infrastructure in the United States. We talked a little bit about this at a scriptural review of the news a couple of weeks ago at church one Sunday morning. But this Oroville Dam, the as far back as even 2005, there have been people that have been going and filing whatever you call it, motions and letters of concern that there's a problem, and that there this dam that is, I think it's what, it's about as old as I am. I had a note here. Here we go. That Oroville Dam, it was built 49 years ago. I'm 51, so it's almost as old as I am. And you know, as dams age, they settle and they crack and things happen. They, you know, when they're 49 years old, they're a little different than they were when they were maybe only 9 or 19 or 29 or 39 years old. Just like us. We're a little different. We are certainly stronger in some areas as Christians. after we have a few years. And dams are the same way. As they're poured with concrete, and as that concrete hardens and settles and settles in, and they gain some strength as well. But then over time, they can lose some strength as well. And I think it's just characteristic, this Oroville Dam situation that's going on. It's characteristic of the failing infrastructure here in the country. It's not only dams, but it's airports, it's our road system, our rail system, our airports. It's the electrical system that we have here in the country. Remember, just a few years ago, we had the very serious rolling blackouts all up in the upper Midwest and in the Northeast. We've had those in the past. And you may say, well, we've had nothing major, but it's this Oroville Dam, if it would have burst and you know, rushed through and killed 200,000 people, well, maybe that would that be important enough then? Would that be a big enough deal to get people's attention, to get them to start looking at this? Well, thank God it didn't do that. But, you know, the Bible says, do you want me to come at you with a rod or in gentleness? And right now, God is coming to his people in gentleness. He's coming with warnings. He's coming with, look out. Be careful. Watch out for this. Pay attention over here. I shared this saying, pay attention, with my son the other day. One of the sayings from my father's mother, my grandmother, was, be particular. Pay attention. Pay attention. Be particular. Pay attention to the details. And for a long time in this country, we did. We paid attention to our infrastructure. We had road taxes that went to pay to improve roads, and transportation and gas taxes that did that very thing. And in California, as California goes, so goes the nation, we've seen a lack of any type of major attention paid to the infrastructure there. And this Oroville Dam fiasco is just one example of what happens when you don't pay attention to your failing infrastructure. And we're seeing that in the physical. And in just a few minutes, I think we can apply it to the spiritual as well. The American Society of Civil Engineers. Now, civil engineers are not the highest paid engineers out there. They make good money, but I know some civil engineers. They know their stuff. They are engineers of the old engineer type. And back in 2013, the American Society of Civil Engineers gave America's infrastructure again a D+. D+. That's like Cuba, folks. Now there were some varying grades, not everything. Just like when you go to school, you might make an A or B here and a D or an F there, and it averages out. Rail, back in 2013, was about a B, D for transit, and it was basically the same thing again this year. In 2017, basically the same thing, a D+. That just says how bad our infrastructure is. And if you drive the interstates, you know it. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. The interstates are horrible. Our little road out here is a state highway, and it's you drive on it, you're having to have your tires rotated every few thousand miles, and it just, the roads are horrible. And they go in, they're cracked, they go in and put the hot wax down or whatever it is, the hot seal, and they're just as bad after it. Bridges, dams, roads, rails, and it's because we haven't invested, we haven't paid attention, we haven't focused on these problems. What has been focused on, especially in California? Oh, the illegals. oh, we have to spend, they've spent $25 billion over the last several years on benefits and clothing and housing, benefits and education and stuff on these illegals. Haven't put that money back into the infrastructure of the state. Been focusing more on the other things, on sin, on making sure that those that want to sin and promote that lifestyle, that it's promoted. Oh, they've spent plenty of money on that. And looking good to man in the world. That time of the tares and the wheat draws near, because the tares, we are seeing it, how they are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty and saying, look at me, we're against everything good and right and moral. It's that time. And we're seeing that in the spiritual, we're experiencing that in the spiritual, we're seeing it in the physical. And part of it is this lack of investment back into the infrastructure of our nation. It's not just California. It's been all over. It has been. And so we see that. And so you might say, well, Richard, I don't need you to tell me that on the radio. I can see that out there. Well, let me ask you this. Let's as we're talking about this failing infrastructure of the nation, let's bring it down to a personal level. Let's talk about the spiritual infrastructure. Now, I think the spiritual infrastructure of our nation got a boost when the what was it, 5 or 8 million evangelicals came out and voted in the last election and swung the election. So I think that in itself is a positive step in the right direction for the spiritual infrastructure of this nation. But the nation is made up of individuals. So let me ask you, how is your spiritual infrastructure? Are you maintaining your spiritual self? Do you call yourself a Christian? Do you think of yourself as a Christian? And if you are, you know, being a Christian is not what you think. It's not based on what you say. It's based on what you do. It's based on what you do. Are you a doer of the word? We are to be a doer of the word. And that's part of our personal lives, our personal infrastructure. Are we doers of the word? Now, for the nation's infrastructure out there, we have not been doing, we have not been rebuilding roads, we have not been rebuilding bridges, we have not been maintaining and rebuilding dams and spillways and things like that. And so we're seeing those things fail. We're seeing the potential for catastrophic failure in those things in the physical. Well, guess what in the spiritual? Guess what in our own lives? It's the same way. Are we growing our spiritual self? Are we even maintaining? Are you maintaining? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge? Or are you stuck where you were 20 years ago when you maybe learned the Anglo-Israel message or when you first heard about Jesus Christ and hopefully you repented, hopefully you were baptized, boom, and that's it? Is that it? And forgive us if the implication has come out from this ministry that's it, because it's not. And if we've done that, forgive us. If we've offended, forgive us. But we're telling you this now. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge? Is your personal infrastructure growing? Philippians 4 tells us things like we are to rejoice always. We are to not be anxious. Are you doing that? Are you rejoicing always? Are you obeying the word where it says don't be anxious? We're to be in prayer. Are you growing in your prayer life? Philippians 2:14 tells us to do everything without grumbling or disputing. I kind of confessed my sin in the communion message a couple weeks ago, I read this very thing that we're to do things without grumbling disputing and stuff. And I confess my sin. I grumble sometimes. I do. And I, Lord, forgive me. Because I am to do all things without grumbling, without disputing. I am to work as if I am working for Jesus Christ himself, as if he's the man signing my paycheck. Really, he is. But we are all to work that way. Not just here, us here at the ministry, but all of us as Christians. We are to work as we're working unto the Lord, working for him and not for man. That's part of our, part of keeping our personal infrastructure in good working order. Oh yeah, sometimes the dams burst. Sometimes there's an overflow, and just as we saw the video footage of the massive water just tearing down that spillway, and where the spillway was destroyed, it was hitting those rocks and just digging a channel, and oh, it was ferocious. Seeing that video last month of that water and the erosion and the damage it was causing. Sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes that happens in our personal lives, in our spiritual life. We may fall. We may make the wrong decision. We may do the wrong thing as a Christian. Well, then what do we have to do? We have to go back and repair our personal infrastructure. Just like if you've been watching even now, they're working over 500 people, and they're working, I think, two or three shifts, 24 hours a day out there in Oroville, repairing that dam, digging the gravel up, putting it back in, trying to clear the river. They've got those huge dump trucks, and I saw some video this past week, and it's huge. 500 people, 24 hours a day, lights, working all around the clock to repair the damage. Sometimes we have to do that. Now let's back up a step. How about if they would have taken care of the infrastructure throughout the years? If they would have seen that, hey, there's a potential for a problem here. We better have a better spillway. We better get some people that and look at our reference books and fix this before it becomes a serious problem. Now, if they would have done that, they wouldn't be spending the $100 million that they're having to spend now in fixing the damage. Now, let's apply that to our spiritual infrastructure, to our spiritual life, to our spiritual self. We need to be, as much as possible, heading off problems, preparing. Maybe that's what we need to be doing, preparing for problems. One of the ways we do that is we invest. And that's in the physical, that's one of the reasons they haven't done it. They have the our nation, our states, and our just the spirit that's been in the land has not invested the money that it should have into our nation's infrastructure. Well, how about individually? Are you investing what you need to invest into your spiritual life, into your spiritual infrastructure? Investing, yeah. Are you disciplined? Do you have godly disciplines? You should. Are you Christian-like? Are you investing in reading your Bible? That's a big one. That's one that many just don't do. As a Christian, oh, I know that word. Yeah, I don't have time. Well, they didn't have time to invest in that dam out there, and it just about killed 200,000 people. Came real close. So are you going to wait in your life until that type of calamity hits, and then you're going to read your Bible? Then you're going to go back to God in daily prayer? Then you're going to go back and repent of your sins, known and unknown? Or then you'll do those Christian things, then you'll love your neighbors yourself? That's not the time to be doing those things. It's not. And thank God that he didn't keep that water rising to where it did overwash that dam and where it did blow it out. there were 200,000 people living downstream. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, for not giving us what we deserve. Thank you for that, Lord. So, personal infrastructure, personal, our spiritual self requires that investment. It requires disciplines. You know, it requires this. We are to be pure. The Bible says God is holy. We are to be holy. We are to be like Him. We are to turn our eye from evil. We're to turn away from sin. That's long been held as, at least in a worldly view, I guess, in this time we're in of just bullet points and quick little memes, things that you see on your cell phone or flashed upon the screen, is that's the difference. You know, a sinner is running towards sin. A Christian is running away from it. We all live in this sinful world. Are we building our own personal infrastructure so that when that storm does come, or those storms of life, and they come, oh brother, do they come, that we can be like that house. We are to be that wise man that builds his house on the rock. And of course, that rock is Jesus Christ. And when you build a house, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Sometimes you get termites. Sometimes you have to repair the build. I was talking to my brother-in-law this week, and I remember when I was in junior high school, we helped him build his house. And roofed it, floored it, and he's added on since then. Talked to him this week. He said, oh, we got termites. Going to have to tear out the floor, and got some cracks in the roof. Going to have to just tear the ceiling out as well and fix it all. Know it's going to cost some money, but we've got to do it. He's investing in that infrastructure, in the physical. Now, his house is built on Jesus Christ, I can tell you that. He loves the Lord, serves the Lord. Storms happen. Hey, termites come. But if we have invested, if we have maintained our spiritual infrastructure throughout time, well, when the storms come, the winds blow, the floods rise, and they beat against the house stands if we're built on that rock. If we have had those biblical godly disciplines, if we've been doers of the word and not hearers only, if we've loved our neighbors ourselves, if we've been reading our Bible and applying it, seeing things when we read it this time that we didn't see last time, when we are asking, Lord, show me, what do I need to repent of, Lord? Is there unknown sin in my life that I need to repent of? Lord, show me that. Lord, show me if I haven't forgiven. Lord, your word tells me to forgive as you have forgiven me. Who do I need to forgive, Lord? Show it to me. Show that person to me, Lord. Give me their name or their face so that I can forgive them, so that I can be forgiven. Do we do that? That's part of that maintaining that spiritual infrastructure. That's like repaving that state highway out there in the physical. But we need to be maintaining and not just maintaining our spiritual infrastructure, but don't you want to be growing it? Don't you want to be like that man that builds a house on that foundation? And then guess what? God blesses him with more children. He's got to add on to that house. That's what my brother-in-law did. He added on a master bedroom and another bathroom, and because he had children there. And once his children have grown up and gone, they still come back, and we go visit. He's built on. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to grow? We should. We are to be growing in the grace and knowledge. And you may say, well, I haven't maintained. I haven't done a good job of keeping my spiritual infrastructure up. Well, join the crowd, brother. join the crowd. Step right up, take a seat, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and join us. But tomorrow's a new day. Right now is a new day. A lot of that, I think, is what or certainly applies when God says, return to me. Return to me. Figure out what it means when he says, when I desire mercy and compassion. When we return to him, and one of the ways we return to him is we read his word, and then we apply what it says for us to do. We become doers of the word. Forgive. Whether they've asked for forgiveness or not, forgive. That's being a doer of the word. That helps maintain. That's like paving that road. That's like rebuilding a bridge. Forgive. I've taken the title of this program 7 times 70, and that comes from Matthew 18. Let me flip over there. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to read it. It's under forgiveness. He says, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. We can plead with God. He's forgiven us. So we are to forgive others. That builds that bridge, that rebuilds that infrastructure. Pray for others. Pray for the saints. Pray for your family. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Put on the full armor of God every day. Men, fathers, put it on every morning. And then pray it on your family. Pray God's angels about your family. Pray for us here at Scriptures for America. Because, Remnant, if we know you, we pray for you. We pray for all of the sheep of God's pasture. That's one of the things we are to do. Philippians 4:11 tells us that that when Paul was writing this, he said, I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content. Doesn't mean we can't be material or blessed materially or blessed financially. But he had learned to be content. When he had a lot, he learned to live with that. When he didn't have anything, he learned to live with that. That's one of the ways we make sure our spiritual infrastructure is there. If you haven't learned to be content, learn to be content. Learn not to, that life is not about just chasing that almighty dollar, so they say. And it's not an almighty dollar. It's only about 39 cents these days. So learn to be content in whatever circumstances you are. And if you don't have godly disciplines, develop them. Develop a discipline of integrity. Of letting your word be your bond. Maybe it hasn't been that way in the past. Well, let it be that way from now on. Develop a discipline of the tongue. If you talk too much, well, stop talking so much. If your tongue moves before your mind speaks, well, slow it down. If you ask God to help you with that, he will. If you don't have a discipline of godly wisdom, ask God for wisdom. He'll give it. But see, these things, to have, just like in the physical, as we're wrapping up here tonight, just like in the physical, as our infrastructure in this nation is in great need of investment and repair, sometimes we might find ourselves, our personal, our spiritual infrastructure, in the same need. And so if you do, well, there's no time like the present to start investing. Won't cost you dollars. It won't cost you millions of dollars like the nation's infrastructure and the physical need. But if your spiritual infrastructure is in need, if you need some bridges rebuilt, if you need some dams shored up, if you need some roads repaved, well, I've given you a few ways that you can start doing that. Reading his word is a huge first step. Praying daily for your family, for God to guide and direct you, for His Word to be that light that shines your way. Let your way be led by Him. Rejoicing always, even when the storms come. Even when the storms come, rejoicing always. Trusting, like the old songs we used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We have to read His Word to understand what it is so that you know you can trust Him and learn how to obey it. Well, that's about all the time we've got tonight. Guess we didn't have any callers. Maybe nobody listening in. That's okay. There's one out there, I'm sure. Maybe just he doesn't have a phone. That's all right. I hope that your personal infrastructure, your spiritual, your godly, your Christian infrastructure is solid. That you've been investing the time and the effort into it so that it'll stand. So that the bridge will stand, so that the dam will hold up, and so that when the storms come, that your house, your home, your life built on that solid rock of Jesus Christ will stand against that storm, and you'll be able to rejoice and not be anxious and praise Him. Well, thanks again for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Our web address is scripturesforamerica.org. Hey, join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network.